All right, well, our team is back from Uganda, and I'm going to kind of let that team come on up here right now. We did the fifth section on discipleship. We did the first one about how to read and interpret the Bible, how to read the Bible so God speaks to you, and we did this one on how to share that with other people. And I'm going to let you listen to Ronald here.
Yes, hello guys. My name is Ronald Kawuye, aka Rain King. I am from Uganda, and I'd like to take this opportunity to thank whoever's been behind this whole project of teaching us. We thank our teachers. We thank the Church of Eastwood Church. Thanks for supporting us. Thanks for supporting the entire project of teaching young pastors all over the world. We are really blessed, and we pray that God richly bless each one of you out there. We love you so much from Uganda. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. You know, we have been supporting this mission in Uganda for, I guess it's been 26 years when Mukumbi first came here. We have a very close relationship with him. And then when Training Pastors International came into the picture, and we started bringing those two together, this has been a huge, huge project for us. And we're going to let you hear a little from them and a little from these guys who taught. But I wanted to thank you for the things that you did, and I want you to kind of get a little picture of what you guys did and support did. Your support went to make sure that the Ugandans, who are very poor, 90% unemployment there, most everyone there works by day. In other words, if I work today, we eat tonight. If I can't get a job today, we wait till tomorrow. And that's many of the pastors also. And so for them to come and to leave their families, you guys supported the ability for them. Some of them came a long distance, some of them a shorter distance, but all of them had to have food for their wives and children. And then they came, and most of them were far enough away that they actually slept on the concrete floor there in Mukumbi's church. And we provided food for them while they were there. And so thank you for doing that. Here's some of the ladies who are cooking. They cooked over an open fire the food for the men. Here they are going through the line. And it was some pretty good food. It was some pretty good food, although it was probably not on our health diets, but it was pretty good. And and these are the trainers out of the group. They have kind of identified these five men who are going to be going out and teaching, because the goal of TPI, as most of you know, is not for Americans to go over there and do a mission trip. It's to train people who are from that country, native to that country, to be able to go out in their own language, in their own culture, and relate the gospel of Jesus Christ to people that have the same culture they do. And so these are some of the finest young men that, and I'm 30, 35 years old, that I have ever been around. They're on fire for Christ. They have just a humility of heart, to whereas they're looking into the scriptures, and that when they see God wants them to move in a different direction, they start on it immediately. We were there 4 days teaching, and before we left, they were implementing the discipleship stuff we were teaching them in their families, and planning to do it throughout their churches. And I've already gotten texts about how they're doing that. But the logistics of the things, money for travel, food to make sure their families are okay for the week that they're gone, food for them. Of course, housing doesn't cost anything, because they're sleeping right there at Victory Living Church. But that's kind of what you guys have provided. And I'm going to start off by letting Jonathan speak. And of course, you guys know Jonathan. He lives out the discipleship we're teaching, as everyone here does. No matter what we're doing, which did not include children, how many of you know that Jonathan found some kids? And they're waiting for him when he comes out, because he is always looking to share the love of Christ and connect with people and connect with kids. And so, you know, he connected with people very quickly. And here's Jonathan where he's leading a small group. What we did is they're very familiar with large group teaching like this, where, you know, well, this is not a sermon, but normally I preach a sermon and throwing out a whole bunch of stuff, have no idea from you what you're getting, what you're not getting, you know, what's speaking to you, what's not, because there's no dialogue. And that's what they're very used to. And so we modeled small group, and then we modeled one-on-one, and then we let them do it after that. But originally the way they looked at it is to lead a small group or to lead one-on-one is I sit down with you and preach you a sermon. No interaction whatsoever. So that was a big change and eye-opener to them about how spiritual growth
How are you over there?
Takes place. And I didn't realize that was coming on quite that fast. Jonathan is going to talk about this young man, so I'm going to let you hear him right here.
How are you over there? This is Blessing John Kiwua, and I'm a husband, and I have two kids. I'm in Uganda. I'm a minister serving the Lord. I want to thank TPI for everything that they have done for us, for the education, for the training. I want to thank God for the series that we have had throughout this week, discipleship. It has been an eye-opener unto me that I have learned that the service of God never ends. I am to disciple disciples and disciples with disciple disciples, and I am to stay a disciple until the Lord comes back. So I want to thank TPI for opening my eyes unto discipleship and how to do it. God bless you and richly expand you, extend you, increase you in all aspects of your life. Thank you very much. Whoever's had a hand in whatever we have been doing throughout this week, God bless you.
Yeah, so I said that was Blessing John. Could you guys understand him? Blessing, yeah, a little bit. He talks fast, but it's awesome. Second day of discipleship training, teaching, we were in large group, and Bill, thankfully, was teaching, and John had a question. John Blessing had a question, and I don't know the full details of it, but he asked, is it okay, because he's, as you heard there, he's a married, young married man, he's got two children, but he has a woman in his church that needed discipling, and there was no one else to do it. So he was basically asking, is it okay for me to disciple her, which we know in this day and culture, that's a sketchy thing. That's just got trouble marked all over it. And so thankfully, Bill answered it perfectly, right? And wow. But he basically just said what he felt and his thoughts behind that. But it was really cool because by the end of the week, he was one of those five men that we met with. And we were sharing, going around the group, and they were sharing kind of what God showed them and revealed to them throughout that week. And it was so cool because it got to him, and he was sitting back in his chair, and he started sharing. And as he's sharing, he's sliding up on the edge of his seat. And by the end of it, he's just up on the edge of his seat talking about how he was going home each day and taking the verses that we were discipling through or talking about, and he was sharing them with his wife. And it was just bonding them closer together, and she was growing and understanding Scripture. And it's like, he didn't say it this way, but you could just see God like pulling back the veil of like, this is going to be the woman that's going to disciple the women in this church. And it was just this revelation of just the excitement he was saying it with about how he was just showing like, the Scripture is bringing us closer together, and it's bringing us closer together with each other, and it's bringing us closer together with God. So he was already practically discipling his wife. And from what we knew of the question, God's going to use that in a mighty way. So that was really exciting for me to see in that.
That's good. And he's also going to talk a little bit about Stephen, which you guys, most of you in this room know who he is. He is the man who's been our interpreter from the first day we went in 2014. And he's the one who's got cancer right now. And he had prayed that God would allow him to not be throwing up and not be just wiped out on his bed, which he had been through, but give him the energy. And God gave him the adrenaline to sit through and be through every one of our sessions. And so here's his gratitude towards what God has done and towards you, and Jonathan has a little bit to say about him afterwards.
Praise Jesus. He's to church. My name is Stephen Mandela from Spoken Through Victory Church, Uganda. I'm a gospel artist. I'm an evangelist. But I've been so much blessed with this training because ever since I've been doing evangelism, I don't know what people are saying. so bad team. They have given us the right information. So I'm much ready to go and make disciples. We are going to make other disciples. Thank you so much. Thank you for the love of Christ. Thank you for standing with us. May God bless you so, so much.
And I put those up there because, as you can see, he's got cancer in his vocal cords. Jonathan?
Yeah, actually, the day we got, well, we got there Saturday. We got there Friday?
Friday.
We got there Friday. He finished his last round of chemo, or second round of chemo, but he finished the last treatment of it Saturday. And he was there Monday from 8 to almost 6 because Bill spoke longer than he should have. But
thanks a lot, Jonathan.
But he sat,
we need one more person to go to replace Jonathan next year.
Yeah, for sure. I was thinking that as well. But in the heat, like, he was sitting there, and he made it to lunch, and he ate lunch, and it was like, he said, I'm worried because usually after, by the time this point in my treatment, after I eat lunch, I'm shivering cold, and I have to get in bed and just cover up with blankets. But he was praying to God that God would give him the energy to sit there for this training and for this instruction, and God did, and God granted that to him. He had the strength to be there every single day, but he comes with this energy. How many guys in here went to Uganda 7 years ago, 9 years ago, and we met Stephen? How many of you guys were impacted by Stephen and his testimony? What I was so impressed by this trip, he sat down and said it several times, but he said, you guys, because you guys, your team from 7 years ago, 9 years ago, you came and showed me what humility is. And he said, that's when my ministry really began. I was ministering before, but you guys showed me what it was what the humility of Christ is. And I just thought that was so cool because, like, we're going and thinking, these guys are humble. They have no means. Like, they're struggling to make ends meet. And really all we did, we just went and just, we were so out of our comfort zone, just put ourselves out there, that it so impacted Stephen that he is ministering and preaching the gospel probably right now. And he is just all the time. He went home, and you got a picture of his family up next, I think. He had a discipleship group in his house with his family, inviting people in. Like, so we went and visited him on Saturday, and he was just going around saying, hey, tell them what you learned in the discipleship group. He is so on fire and so hungry for more. So it just made it so awesome to go be reconnected with him and just see what an impact Christ made through us all those years ago.
And, you know, I'm just going to interject this. The first time that we went, one of the things that we noticed, we took Jonathan there to work with the youth. They didn't even give him an interpreter. The only time we ever saw anyone touch a child other than one they were holding that was little is to put their hands on the back of their head and kind of move them out of the way. And when we left, I asked McCombie, as we were driving to the airport, I said, well, what is it that you've learned through this? And he said, I see that we've lost a big opportunity with our young people, because we had personally witnessed to and prayed with everyone that came through. And so the adults had all responded and given their hearts to Christ before we did the crusade, which is where they were going to reach out to them. And when they spoke in Lugandan and they did the crusade, they didn't have any adults to come forward, but our kids came forward. And they just didn't see kids as someone that was ready. They were waiting until they were over 18 to reach out to them, because they looked at children different in that society. And one of the things that was interesting as we talked there is he realized, you know, if we wait until they've made all these bad choices before we share Christ with them, then it's really hard to bring them to Christ because they're so deep in sin. But if we reach out to them, and they actually were working with the kids. One of the guys we have has got a soccer thing where he's bringing in kids who want to play soccer in here and sharing the Lord with them at a little age, which none of that was happening before. Second year Jonathan came, they had an interpreter for him. And he started training him in youth ministry. One of the guys that's in the training thing runs the youth ministry in Victory Living Church. And so, you know, there's just different cultures and different things. One of the things that we talked to McCombie after the first time we went and came back is how different our cultures were. And we kind of put it this way, like here in America, we're kind of a mile deep and an inch wide. And in Uganda, they're a mile wide and an inch deep. Their look at the Great Commission is this: go out and find people who don't know Christ, get them to surrender their hearts to Christ and get in the church, and we're done. Now, you know, they're on their own. We go find somebody else. And here in the United States, I wish that we had people who would respond to the Great Commission and go out like they do. Some of those guys witness to 20 or 30 people a day. But we study and we understand the love of God and we study the way God wants us to live and to react and stuff. We're really good at discipleship. And when we went over there the first time in 2014, the guy who led their church planting, they've got 195 church plants out of that one church, he came up to me afterwards, and I didn't even know he spoke English because he just stood around and watched us. And he came up and he said, you know, you have changed us and changed the way we look. We had no idea the importance of love with the gospel. They knew the facts, they knew the duty they had, and man, they do it because they live in a dictatorship. It's not like here. They understand if you're supposed to do something, you do it, and they do. And so, you know, when we go over there, we see the weakness that we need to grow in. And when we go over there, they're hungry to grow and to change in the areas that we have. And it's just, it's a great partnership, and it's a wonderful thing to be able to see God move in such big ways in people's thinking as he balances us out. Next one we've got right here is Ivan.
Hi, Vani. As we started our session, we have been so great. We have started a lot. And we bless our teachers for the great work they have done. Indeed, we have not remained ashamed. And I believe that what they have taught us is going to help the whole nation, is going to benefit in our village, in our churches. We are going to make other people disciples. Suppose we have become disciples. And I believe we are going to do a good work since we have received a good materials, a good knowledge from our teachers. I thank our teachers, especially Pastor Dave, Pastor Bill, and others for the great work they have done in Uganda. May God bless you. Amen.
Get that done. Oh.
Go ahead.
Oh, go. Well, Dave. Here's Dave. Teaching and discussing with the large group, and Dave has just got a wonderful personality. He's so engaging, and he's always laughing. You know how he is. He just makes everybody feel comfortable, and so it was just wonderful the way he connected with them. And as he taught, he asked, you know, he's engaging with them, and he's asking and answering questions, and so it was just a wonderful teaching a time that he had. He led worship with Jonathan. Here he is leading in prayer before the worship, and I think you want to begin talking about Robert.
Yes.
Well, first of all, before I get to that, I don't know if y'all caught that. He called me Pastor Dave. All right. Todd, I expect to be addressed that way from here on out. Yes. Renee's already doing it. But that's Robert. Robert is one of McCombie's sons. And Robert and the five men that we met with, this was after the end of the teaching the next day. We went out and had lunch with them and just spent time just answering questions. These are kind of like the worship team, if you will, over there at the church. And it gets serious in there with some worship. Let me just tell you, you should experience it. One time we'll have to record it for you so you can actually see it. It's lively. But what was so interesting was we were just sitting there and Robert just opened up. He said, I've come to realize that myself and our team, we were just coming together to practice. We wanted to make sure that our performance was where it should be. And once we had that down, we left. He said, my eyes have been opened now to the importance of us having that relationship with God if God is going to use us to lead his people in worship. And so he started telling us how they were going to make changes and how the very first thing they were going to do when they got together was start with the Word of God. And then once they felt like their hearts were where they should be, they would move on with their practice. And I thought, you know,
you're getting
that,
it.
that sounds a lot like what we've done here at Eastwood. And so it was just exciting to see that.
It was. And I've got, well, you've got one more. You wanted that video of Arnold, so I'm going to show that and let you speak after that.
Okay, yeah.
We go. Hi, everyone. I'm Arnold. Uganda is my country. Now, this is an opportunity, and we are very grateful. I'm very grateful to our wonderful teachers, the TPAI. We are very grateful for this opportunity. I'm very grateful for this opportunity to learn how to disciple believers. You know, before, I used to know, if you are a follower, that's all. You can go to heaven, you can be a Christ follower and end there. But right now, I know discipleship is the way to go. You know what? A follower must be a disciple. He must grow up to become a disciple. Now I know I must be spiritually growing each and every day, each and every time. I should disciple someone to go and disciple someone, and that someone should disciple another person. We are very grateful for our wonderful teachers. May God bless them. Amen.
Amen.
And they're... You know, it's interesting, the power of culture. They're setting a culture of discipleship. Those leaders are catching that. It was interesting, as I was sitting here, I noticed that all of them looked at the big screen, and I looked at the little screen, which made me feel out of place. And then I realized, this is how we are. We got the Super Bowl today. How many of you are looking for a big screen to watch it? But go ahead, Dave.
So Arnold, it was just interesting to see how he got it. The importance of discipleship. That was our whole teaching that we did this last time over. And we left them with a discipleship project that they will do on their own for the next year. And then each one of the teams will check up on where they are in their progress. And the next year when we all go back, that's when we get that discipleship book back. But the fact that it sank in that fast. Here's the thought I have. I told them, I said, because they were talking about, well, you can't disciple but so many people. I said, yeah, but think about this for just a second. You disciple five. Then those five people go and disciple five. Then each one of those people go and disciple five. And you can see how it multiplies. And that just caught them. They were like, oh, yeah. Here's what I wanted to share with you. Only eternity will be able to measure the impact of what is taking place in Uganda. And every one of you sitting in this room has got a part of it. We're just your mouthpiece that goes. But we couldn't do it if it wasn't for you. So thank you for supporting us.
Let's give that to John right there. This is John, and of course, you know how John is. I don't think I ever see him. The only time I see him standing here is when he's waiting to talk. He's normally standing next to someone, praying with him or talking to him, or taking him out, taking one of the kids out to his to farm. Everywhere he goes, he makes friends. Everywhere he goes, people just like him because he's interested in them, and he wants for them, not from them. And so here's John sharing love and life at meals. You know, so everybody is eating because they just got their food, and John's got his finger up because he's talking, and you can see the ones who are around him are engaged in conversation with him. Here's John leading a small group, and not only did he lead the small groups, of course, what's favorite for John is teaching. He loves to teach, and they love him as a teacher. Over there, respect for elders, really big thing. Last time Makumbi was here, and he went with Sherry to kind of go over his numbers and stuff, and I was talking with him, and he said, oh, it's very rare for anyone in Uganda to reach the age of 60. And I didn't really realize that, and when I went this time, I looked around, there's not hardly anybody who's old, you know, because they don't live that long. And to be 60 years old to them, yeah, I mean, when Makumbi walks into a room at 60, all conversations stop. And so they look at John and they see, you know, they respect him and the knowledge he has, and then the openness he has is probably different in some ways. And so he had a tremendous impact there. But I'm going to let you go ahead, John.
Bill, are we going to share the testimony of how he made it there? Are you going to, either one? I mean, they got to know that.
Well, I'll,
okay.
Let me do it real quick. Some of you know this, that every time we go to Uganda, dealing with the Ugandan government online is very difficult. We all are planning to go, you know, a year in advance, and we get down to the month before, and none of us had our visas through yet. And finally, John and I and Jonathan got his, and we still had not gotten David's to come back. And so we drove down to Atlanta, and they would not let him on the plane to go. So he turned around and he drove back here. But having faith, Dave went ahead and booked, told his travel agent, book me a flight for Saturday. And we started praying that God would bring him, would allow that to go. And we got to Amsterdam, and Jonathan, he got online, and he had his code, so he pretended to be Dave, and he looked through everything, and he realized that, no offense, Dave, but you had made a mistake, and he fixed it. And so the next day, he got his visa, and he was coming. And he texted me, and he said, you know, I just thought of something. He said, you have to have a COVID test 72 hours before you get on the plane. And I didn't get on the plane with you guys, so now mine is much more than 72 hours. And I'm afraid when I get up there, they're not going to let me on the plane. And most of you know the story of when I came here and I had to get my teacher's certificate. And it reminded me, I just prayed. I said, Lord, put him in the hands of someone who will just let him go anyway. And so he went up to the airport. And this is the Atlanta airport, and he walks into the international place with a ticket here. No one was there. No one was there. Only one lady was there. And he walked through to the places that you check in, and she goes, sir, where are you going? And he says, Uganda. And she said, well, come over here. I'll take care of you. And he wasn't even going to go over there, but he goes over there, and she says, give me your passport, and she puts it on the thing. And when he opened up, she saw his Bible. And she goes, I see you got a Bible. Why are you going to Uganda? And he said, well, we're trading pastors. And she said, let me pray for you. She said, I want to pray for you. And so she prayed this long, long prayer. She took his hand, prayed this long, long prayer. Not a short prayer, but it's like a long, long prayer. And when she gets done, apparently she's forgotten about the visa and everything else. And she just goes, here's your boarding pass. And he got right on the plane. And so... he made it there, but that was a good story, but we realized we had time, so I wasn't going to share it, but it's a good one. Go ahead, John.
But it also happened on the last leg of the flight as well, because he still had to get past that last agent.
And the last agent didn't even look at it. She just took it. You got it? She didn't even look at it, so that was good. Go ahead.
Well, I see I'm already on overtime, 12:07, and I'm the long-winded one. Get comfortable, go to sleep if you want to, it's okay. You know, I just want to share, is there such a thing as a little miracle? I got COVID twice last year, and the second one really whooped me. The first one, piece of cake, but boy, I tell you what, for 3 months, it settled in my side of my head, my ear, through the temple, my throat. For 3 months, I had an earache and a sore throat, and finally it wore down to where my ear was just popping and cracking, and I only had a scratchy throat. Well, the point being here, it's hard to go teach if you can't talk. You notice our friend there that was whispering. You know, it's one thing. Stephen not only is a great evangelist, he's a musician. And one of the hardest things you could lose as a musician is to lose your voice. And so we were able to encourage him, but be in prayer for Stephen. But because of that, every time I started talking, and it may happen before I'm done here today, I would start coughing. And so in some of the, especially the Tuesday night class that I've been teaching. It lasts for an hour, and I'd get in about 20 minutes, and I'd start hacking and coughing. And it wasn't just a, it was, you know, the old croup cough that about turns you inside out, kind of embarrassing. But it's one thing, they were friends, and, you know, they were pretty forgiving, and took a couple minutes break, and I could, you know, Jill gave me something to spray in my throat that burned like fire, but I could talk after that. So asked the several different groups that were in to be praying that I'd be able to teach without coughing. Some of the sessions, a lot of the sessions are an hour and a half long, a lot of content. But not only that, when you're sitting on an airplane with 300 or 400 passengers in there, you're packed in like sardines, you don't want to be hacking and coughing. They love to throw you out without a parachute. But you know something? All those that prayed, and I didn't spread the word a lot, but God answered that prayer. Thursday night, I got on the airplane. I didn't cough on Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday, went to church, didn't cough. Now, let me tell you, folks, I'm still coughing. This about 3 o'clock this morning, I woke up coughing. Monday, went to church Sunday, didn't cough all over all those 2,000 people that were worshiping. Well, you got to come see the worship. Now, when I heard about the worship, I didn't know if I was old enough to go watch. I mean, you know, these folks know how to dance. And what, to my amazement, it was the guys that were doing the dancing. They took this thing about, I guess, King David dancing. And I mean, I couldn't do the movements that they were moving, even when I was a young man. But and the ladies were in the background singing, and they were swaying to the music. But I mean, it was just neat. Different folks worship different ways. And it was just so exciting to see their love and expression as they worshiped. Well, Monday came, and Monday and Tuesday were our teaching classes. And Bill gave me the privilege of having the last session on Monday. 4:30, and I taught for an hour and a half, and that's how much time the session allows for that information. I didn't cough one time. Not one time. Whew. Tuesday, I taught for an hour. Didn't cough. Wednesday and Thursday, we worked through the, you know, with the groups. I didn't talk near as much. I still never coughed. Friday, when we had that meeting with the five up on the balcony, I coughed. I had to excuse myself, go get settled down. But you know what? I was thinking, well, Lord, you could have extended a little longer. I know we just prayed Sunday through Thursday. But you know what? If I had never coughed again after that, I probably would have thought, well, I was just getting healed anyhow. It was kind of coming to an end. But when I got up from that table where we were talking, immediately I knew God had calmed the nerves, whatever's in there, long enough. I coughed again on the airplane home, but it was about midnight. Most everybody was asleep on the plane, and I was able to get a hold of Jill's magic potion there, and so they didn't throw me out of the airplane. But you know that it's just, it's neat to see how God works and he blesses. Another area that would just, sometimes you teach for a long time and you really wonder if folks are really hearing, or if they really, you know, are they really understanding? Is it really sinking in? On Tuesday when I taught that class, it was also the last class in the day, but a little earlier, we closed a little sooner. I was supposed to teach on eternal security. Can a person know that they're saved? And, you know, there's the typical scriptures you use, Romans chapter 8, nothing can separate me from the love of God. John chapter 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and no one can pluck them out of my hands. First John, I write these things to you that you may know that you have eternal life. But there was a passage that I had been thinking about quite a bit for some time on this. And it probably wouldn't have been a typical one. You know, the Last Supper is when Jesus instituted the communion service. And it's a very important service. It's for us to remember his shed blood and his suffering, the bread. A lot of you may not realize it, but that was the same time when Jesus washed the disciples' feet at the Last Supper, John 13, chapter 13. And as I was kind of meditating on that, washing the disciples' feet, when it came to Peter, well, let me ask you, what is the lesson God was trying to teach when he washed the disciples' feet? Someone hollered out. Humility. That was the same response that the folks, the men, the preachers gave me. Humility. And you know what? That's the application. But there's also a truth in that situation that's really important, that has to do with our security and our faith. Jesus talked to Peter at the end, right? Peter, I'm going to wash your feet. He said, nope, you're not going to wash my feet. Never, never. Jesus said, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, okay? Is that all right? If I don't wash your feet, you will have no part of me. Those are some pretty tough words, aren't they? Well, then Peter said, okay, well, why don't you wash my hands and my head as well? Do you remember Jesus' response? I'll paraphrase that. You've already had a bath. Okay? Your head's clean. Your hands are clean. But your feet are dirty. You see, in Israel, they walked a lot. They wore sandals, and there wasn't exactly concrete sidewalks there. And their feet got dirty. What was Jesus trying to say? What was the truth he was trying to say? You don't need to get saved every time you sin. You wash the part that gets dirty. You already believe in your mind. And this is at the end. This is just before he was arrested and went to the Mount of Olives and was arrested. You're already believers. You're already clean with your hands and your head, but your feet need to be cleaned. And so he was telling them, you're believers. You're in the family of God. You're already saved. But you're going to mess up from time to time, and you need to wash your feet. You need to cleanse that part that becomes contaminated. And what was neat is, it was just like a light switch was turned on with the guys as they saw that truth coming from there. And then Bill picked up on it after a while and expanded on, because I was already run out of time, expanded on the importance of the hands and the head. And so there's just, you just can't study Scripture long enough to learn everything. There's always something new and something fresh. But it's exciting to see preachers. These are preachers that are willing to learn, willing to sacrifice, willing to sit from morning till 6 o'clock at night to learn so that they can be better servants of God. There's just one last thing I want to mention. The first trip we went, and you know, I got sick. So for 3 days, I taught the first day. And of the 4 days, the next three, I was confined to the hotel. And I was like a caged lion in that hotel. And so the Mukumbi arranged to have a doctor come and see me in the hotel, and it was neat. He set up a
IV.
That's it. Took a hanger, hooked it over the curtain rod, and did an IV. Put the shot in. You know, I've never had a doctor do that. It's always been a nurse. Then he gave me these pills, and of course, they're all written in Ugandan on the box and all that, and it said on there 5X. Take 5 of these today and tomorrow. And so Man, I took those five pills, and I was feeling good. I was feeling real good. And so I couldn't stay in my room, so I had to go out there, and there's no elevator, but there's six flights of stairs, so I'm going up and down the stairs. And so I said, you know something, I bet. So I took a picture of it and sent it to Jill and said, can you find out what these pills are? They were steroids. and so the next day she said, you probably ought to take one at a time, maybe every few hours. But what was comical was when Makumbi came and visited me, the next day, he came every day at the end of the day, and Bill, they come into my room, and he said, oh, you are strong. He said, you are the lion of Africa. And I'm thinking, okay, he's trying to encourage me, tried to make me feel good, but, you know, I'm no lion here. You know, look at these guys. I mean, you know, if you were picking a bodyguard from the four of us, I don't think you would pick me. But, you know, it was something that was comical, but yet it spurred me on to find out, well, there must be something in their culture that's a whole lot different than in America. You see, what, Makumbi's 60?
He's 64.
64. I'm 10 years older than Makumbi. Now, they laid both the red carpet for Makumbi, but what he wasn't talking about physical strength. He was saying, here's an old man that's willing to come across the ocean and teach us. He is the Lion of Africa. Wow. As I thought about that and talked to some other people, realized that elders in their country, they're just revered. And I'm an elder of the elders. When I went to church on Sunday there, I didn't see any old men in that church. I saw a couple of older women.
Well, you.
Pardon?
You.
He's really old.
Thanks for reminding me. I got plenty of pains and aches that remind me of that. In closing, you know what? I have a friend. I have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I have a friend who's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he gave me a message through Paul, Philippians. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And if he wants me to sit in a hotel and take steroids, I'll do that. I'd go back again if it was just for one day. On that one day, I didn't eat lunch because one of the guys wanted to talk to me. Ryan wanted to talk to me. He was struggling with some things in his past, some problems, and working on forgiveness, and I spent the whole lunch hour with him. Guess what? He's one of the five now that are leading the pack. The Lord had me go one day, make one disciple, and it's worth it all. Folks, our job is to make disciples. Moms, your first job is your children. Husbands, your first job is your wife. Make disciples. And anything else over that is just God's blessing for the privilege of serving him. God bless you.
Well, thank you, John. And, you know, I'm glad you took that time with Brian, and it certainly made a difference, but you didn't miss many meals. All right. Sorry. Notice that big old milkshake. We're not going to say any more. But we'll let him finish.
Amen. I'm Suvi King Joseph from Kampala, Uganda. I'm highly blessed to be part of TPI. We've been highly blessed to be taught by you. I've benefited a lot from TPI. Thank you for the materials. Thank you for the knowledge. Really, this has been extremely extremely, extremely so beautiful. Guys, thank you. May God richly bless you. May God favor you. May he increase you and make his face shine upon you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I had that on there, and the first part of that sound didn't come through, but he starts off and he goes, woo! and he just shows the excitement that they had about what God did in their lives. And so I'm going to ask the band to come up. We're going to just pray right here, and then we're going to finish singing a hymn of gratitude to God. But Father, we just thank you for being able to see you work. And we are so grateful, Father, that you touch hearts and that you open eyes and that you inspire and you create excitement and you mold in us hearts of devotion where we truly want to just bow before you and serve you in any way we possibly can. And we thank you, Lord, for seeing just in those clips and in our teachers here the passion and the enthusiasm to be your servants. And we pray, Lord, that that will just infect us to whereas the world can't distract and pull away the fullness of life that we get from achieving your purposes in the midst of this world. Remind us, Lord, how short our lives are and how quickly anything we achieve in this world fades away. But the work we do for you is eternal because it builds up your family that will be with you as we're together forever. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.